conceived by Sam Robertson.
Do you hear these footsteps? Who do you think is making them? Sam is. He illustrated the King James Old Testament. It took him 7 years. And with the help of a very, very brave small publisher, a big 520-page hardcover book was born. Now, do you see the briefcase Sam is holding? It's got a big red heart painted on it, swaying as he walks with butterflies in his stomach and sweat soaking into his fancy suit. Okay, now peek inside the briefcase with me. Red velvet caresses one of these books to keep it from wiggling around way too much and getting all dinged up. The one in the briefcase is copy number 150. It's Sam's copy, but it's also the one people get to hold and flip through to behold the magnitude so they can think about if maybe they want to obtain one for themselves or as a gift for a loved one. Gold foil stamps adorn both the dust jacket and the actual book cover. It's 9 inches tall by 12 inches wide, and it's even got a classy red bookmark ribbon to save your page in the sea of illustrations and text. Nearly 260 illustrations are nestled lovingly within the entire text of the Old Testament. It probably weighs 6 pounds, but no one knows for sure yet. Now, flip through with me. There's page after page after page of vivid modern paintings meditating upon the human condition. The illustrations interpret the ancient words of the Bible in a way the people of today can perhaps relate to, while still somehow maintaining a timeless quality. Sam captured the love and beauty buried deep within the words, and he highlighted the allegiances and extraordinary vengeances and grudges that God patiently fostered with mankind. His ultimate creation. From Genesis to Malachi, and in the 37 books between, it seems to almost go on for... Oh!
Hey, slow down! You almost killed me!
A horrible driver just ran a red light and almost hit Sam. Well, Sam's okay, so that's great. But I hope the driver gets to where he's going safely and then takes a safety class at the DMV or something. But where were we? Oh, yes. Well, I'll fill you in more in a minute. But now Sam was approaching someone's house and walking up the front steps to the door. Let's listen.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, honey. I wasn't expecting to see you here today.
Yeah,
And you're looking so sharp. You never dress up. What's the occasion? Is someone getting married? Oh, no. Did someone die?
Nah, Mom. No, nothing like that.
Oh, okay. Well, what you doing here then?
I'm trying to be a door-to-door salesman now. Today's my first day, and I'm just kind of nervous, so I wanted to practice first on someone I know pretty well, you know?
Oh, okay.
You don't mind?
No, that's fine. Can you stay for some breakfast? I'm making a bunch of hard-boiled eggs.
Sorry, Mom, I can't. I've got a big day ahead of me.
All right, I understand. Hold on, I'll pack you a little Tupperware of food. Just wait, hold on, stay here.
No, Mom, thanks. I'm fine. I'm not hungry.
You're too skinny.
No, Mom, I've got a healthy body weight, the doctor just said.
Well, the doctor isn't your mom.
Of course not, I know that. But, so hey, there's a book I'm selling. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
Oh, are you doing your bit now? Is this your bit?
Yeah, I just started my sales pitch.
Okay, I got a minute. Say, is this that Bible you've been working on for so long?
Yeah, Mom, it's that.
Hmm, how are sales going?
Well, I guess that's why I'm here right now. I still got 50 copies left from when we printed 300 copies a year back. But yeah, sales have slowed down to a trickle. Mom, it's like a creek is about to dry up for good, even though there's fish still in it trying to live their lives. But they'll all die in little dwindling pools of stagnant water if I don't sell more books soon.
That's terrible. Those poor fishies.
Yeah, it's awful. It feels like no one even cares about my book at all. I think it's too off-putting for church people, but with its religious subject matter, people who aren't religious just vanish like ninjas on a moonless night when I say the word Bible. It stinks.
I'm sure people care about it, Sam.
I don't know if they do. I don't think it fits anywhere. Like, it's too lowbrow for snooty academics, and it's too highbrow for fans of outsider art. What am I even saying? I just don't know where my book fits. Who is this book for?
Honey, is this still part of your sales pitch?
Who is the audience? Who would buy my book?
Well, I know you worked real hard in this book. I believe in you. I think this book is for everyone. Just not for me right now, sweetie. I gotta go check on those eggs.
Okay, thanks, Mom. I gotta get going.
Okay, Sam. I love you.
Love you too, Mom. Thanks for letting me practice on you first.
Don't look so sad.
Okay, I'll try not to. I think I'm ready to be a door-to-door salesman. I'm going to try knocking at all the neighbors' doors now. Bye, Mom.
Bye, Sam. I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Gotta go get those eggs.
Sam spent the next few hours going door-to-door trying to make a sale. Let's just say, it didn't go so well.
There's a book I'm selling. I wonder if you got a minute. It's the Old Testament, but I illustrated it.
No, thanks.
You sure? Okay. All right. Thanks for stopping. I'm the one that stopped. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a door-to-door Bible salesman. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
No.
It's a different kind of Bible. This is my first day doing this. Maybe I shouldn't lead with that. Should I try it? Hi, there's a book I'm selling. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
Good luck.
You're not interested?
No.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a door-to-door Bible salesman. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
No, we're heading to the airport pretty soon.
Okay.
Totally not interested.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye. Morning.
Morning.
There's a book I'm selling. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
I don't. You just woke my granddaughter, so I'm going to take care of that.
I'm sorry. All right. Have a good one. Hey.
What?
There's a book I'm selling. I'm wondering if you got a minute.
What's the minute?
So it's the Old Testament, but I illustrated it. Yeah, and there's 257 illustrations in it. There's nothing like it in the world. I didn't do it from a religious perspective, but I just picked the Old Testament, the King James Version, to...
Yeah, a lot of artistic value there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, a lot of material, so, yeah, but...
Probably not going to buy it, but good luck with your sale, though.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right, have a good one. Enjoy yourself.
Again, no luck. After three more doors with no answers... A couple of which Sam did for sure see people inside scurry out of sight, like as if they were little skittish baby rabbits in people costumes. Here's door number 11.
Yeah? What do you want?
Hi, there's a book I'm selling, and I'm wondering if you got a minute.
No, I don't think so, mister.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, what book you selling?
Well, I'm selling the King James Old Testament, but this one's different because I illustrated it. It took me 7 years. Your eyes are so blue.
I know. Let me see the book.
All right, one second. Here you go.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is terrible. It might be the worst thing I've ever seen. I'd sooner buy a dead cat. Here's your lousy book back. Now get the hell out of here right now before I call the cops on you for soliciting. Actually, here, watch. 9-1-1. Now all I have to do is press send. And if you aren't walking away in 3-2-1.
All right. Sorry for bothering you. I'm leaving.
Yeah! Go on! Get out of here, you fraud!
Dejected, shaky, and even sweatier and more sad than before, Sam gets back into his truck.
Why doesn't anyone want my book? Why did that guy have to be so mean? I'm gonna cry.
After maybe the saddest drive home of his life, Sam blows his nose in the collar of his suit and wipes the tears from his eyes on his tie with the hearts all over it. Sam stumbles out of his truck. And he just tripped on a phone book that got left on his porch by someone who still distributes those big heavy things.
Who even uses phone books anymore?
Sam picks up the phone book, puts it under the armpit of the same arm that if you keep tracing it further down, you'll see it leads to the hand that holds the briefcase. With his free hand, Sam fumbles for his keys in his pocket. Sam finally got back to his basement. It's his home office and studio where he paints. He shares the space with the laundry machines and the dehumidifier. Once, Sam even plugged in a humidifier right next to the dehumidifier to witness the mist exchanging between the two specialized and mysterious machines. It's a total mess down here, perfectly reflecting Sam's unorganized, overextended mind. Sam picks up his journal. It, too, has a big red heart on it, just like his special briefcase.
Dear diary, no luck going door-to-door today. I knew it would be hard, and I didn't even expect a sale necessarily, but I thought at least someone would take interest in my book or ask some nice questions at least or something. One lady even looked super scared when she saw me on her doorstep through her screen porch, before I could even knock, like I was an actual monster or something. When I was leaving, I noticed she had a yard sign in her yard that was about saving a golf course. Maybe she thought I was there to bring sad news about the golf course having been destroyed and repurposed prematurely. I just don't know. It's so nerve-wracking being out there selling this book, feeling so exposed. I got the sense that everyone is watching from their windows or something, hoping I don't come to their house. I even made eye contact with one man through his window, who quickly drew his curtain closed. And the effect was like he threw down a smoke bomb to vanish or something. Two of the three people that answered their doors were so disinterested, and they're nervous and borderline upset. And then the last guy, oh wow, he was hostile. I left quick because he was about to call the cops. I got spooked. I'm considering bringing my own welcome mat if I try this again, since everyone is so unwelcoming. I need to figure something out. I'm still jittery. Maybe I need to talk to an actual salesman or something. Someone who's done this stuff before. Maybe they'd know what I'm doing wrong. What I can try differently. But where in the world could I locate someone with this type of wisdom that I need so bad?
Sam's eyes dart around the room for a bit. Then eventually, they scoot their gaze over to the phone book he had just recently set down on his desk without really thinking about it at all.
Oh yeah, the phone book I just tripped over.
There we go, okay. S-A-S-A sandwiches, oops, too far. S-A-L salad restaurant, salamanders, sailboats, that's spelled wrong. Okay, oh, here we go. Salesman guru. Cody Maloney, wait, what? Cody Maloney, why is that name so familiar? Wait, didn't I go to high school with that guy?
Hi. I'm sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave a message with your name and number, I can get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks. And I look forward to assisting you in your sales journey, whatever that may look like to you, because I'm well-versed in all things sales. And I've been a practitioner in the sales world for over 15 years, and I've escorted thousands of people, both young and old, in their unique journeys to fully realize their sales dream, and in the process, discover themselves.
Hi, Cody. I just saw your name in the phone book. This is Sam. Sam Robertson. I think we went to high school together, of all things. You might not remember me, but I see you're a salesman consultant now or something. And I have some sales questions for you, actually. And, oh, he's calling back. Hello?
Hi, yeah, I just missed a call from this number.
Hey, Cody, this is Sam Robertson. I think we went to high school together, actually, at Fletchner High, and I found your name in the phone book under Salesman Guru when I was thumbing through it, and I have some sales questions, I guess.
Yeah, I went to Fletchner, but Sam who?
Sam Robertson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. I just started leaving you a voicemail, actually. So you're a salesman consultant now? That's so cool you're in the phone book.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I have some sales questions for you. That's awesome you're a salesman consultant now. It's lucky for me, I guess, because, yeah, I'm new to this whole sales thing. Even back in high school, you were always selling something. You were super convincing. Didn't you sell the lunch your mom packed you to this school lunch lady once for like $10 or something?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That was crazy. I guess I'm saying I trust your abilities in the sales department. Hey, Cody, you still there?
Yeah, what can I help you with today?
Okay, well, where should I start? I'm trying to be a door-to-door salesman. But after my first try today, I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong. I tried maybe 15 doors, 3 or 4 people answered, and they weren't even interested at all. I could tell they wanted me to leave right away.
Well, I think you got a good perspective here, you know? A lot of sales nowadays is coming from home by way of the internet, a lot of home shopping. A lot of people say that retail is dead, actually. Brick and mortar, dying. So I think you got a good perspective here with your strategy, just showing up to people's doors. That'll bypass that internet component and replace it with something that's more immediate and personal. I just want to break things down a little bit here. What is it you're doing? What is your what's your business plan? What are your objectives here? What are you selling?
Yeah. Oh, I'm selling an Old Testament. It's one I illustrated. I'm trying to sell it door to door and just want to sell as many as possible. And I'm coming up against problems because, like...
What's your key demographic that you're selling to?
Well, that's what's tough because I kind of think it's everybody. So, like, what do you do when you're trying to sell something to everybody?
Well, is your goal to make money here?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, I want to sell tons of copies. I want the Pope to get a copy too. I mean, eventually, but... Yeah, I do want to make money along the way, you know?
Well, you can't get there unless you make money, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So how much does a ticket to Rome cost now?
I'm not sure, but it's way more than I have. I only have about $120.
Yeah, so it sounds like you have a product that is it's hard to sell right now.
But it seems like it should be easy. The Old Testament was so foundational to America. Everybody knows about it. But it's like people forgot all about it or something. You think people would be more excited to buy the illustrated version of it that I did, or at least like want to page through it to see what it's like or something?
Maybe, but put yourself in their shoes. Who normally shows up to the door to sell something?
I'm not sure.
Probably most people from the phone companies, the internet companies, that kind of thing. You're probably the first salesman they've seen at their door who's selling something that they've created. You have to establish that. So much of our day with the modern nature of selling and advertising, it's so intrusive. People almost see you as a pop-up in their web browser.
Oh my gosh. That's what's happening. People are seeing me as a pop-up.
So now how are you going to make it so they don't just click X on their screen, you know, by closing the door on you?
Well, I don't know.
By establishing a relationship.
How do you do that?
The best course of action is to always keep the conversation focused on them. Keep it focused on their preferences so that their preferences can unfold to you. And then you can parlay those into what you're selling and how it fits within their lifestyle, their personal preferences, what's working for them. You need to find all the ways that your product works for a multitude of people and discover how to get that information out of people. Sometimes that means developing relationships with them. Some people, they're going to be wide open. They haven't talked to someone in a long time. They're lonely. Some people just love to be sold stuff as a matter of fact. But most people are tougher to crack. So I would keep the questions focused. Establish that you're selling something. And then start turning the questions onto them.
That makes a ton of sense, actually. That's a super good idea. I should sort of find out kind of who they are, like what they're looking for, and then cater to them.
Yeah. You need to see how your book fits into their life. Then you pounce.
Okay, yeah, that's huge. I think I can actually do that.
You can ask questions like if they know anyone who's an artist or an author. And Sam, can I tell you something important?
Yeah, please.
One thing in the sales world is that you have to be immune to a certain word. And it's not just spelled N-O. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, that's right. The word is no. You let that word, when you see it, you let it wash over you.
Okay.
It should pass over the parts of your brain and your heart that feel feelings.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing wrong.
Has it hurt to hear no?
Yeah. As soon as I hear it, I feel bad and I turn around and walk away. But now that I think of it, I could have stayed longer if I'd not taken it so personally. Maybe then I'd have been able to say the right things that would get them interested.
That's right. You'll begin to hear the word no a lot less. If you're able to find a way to establish to the potential buyers existing employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction. Have you sent out surveys yet to any existing customers?
Wait, let me write this down. Surveys. Okay, there.
Imagine going door to door and showing in a very easy-to-digest graph to show customer satisfaction to your potential customers.
I could see that working. Because if graphs help me to visualize a ton of stuff, I'm sure they'd work for other people too.
Yeah, so do that for sure.
Okay.
That's good to get out of the way. Now, do you think you're ready for me to give you your sales mantra?
My what?
A mantra. It's something, usually a sound or a phrase or something, to have in your mind to get into the right headspace. People use it for meditation, but it works for sales too.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'm ready.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Always be closing.
Always be closing?
I want this to be drilled in your head, Sam. Always be closing. Always be closing.
What does that mean?
Always be closing.
What does that mean?
That's how efficient you are as a salesperson making the sale. You want to get your close ratio up high to the top of the moon. That's what separates the good salespeople from the bad ones.
Okay. Always be closing. I can remember that.
Oh, and you're going to want to get a P.O. box from an actual post office for fan mail so you can receive a wealth of information from your clients in order to make more convincing graphs and charts to show potential customers when you're at their doorsteps. You don't ever, ever want to use your home address for business purposes like this, or fans will just start popping by. You know, I've learned that the hard way. And believe me, I know there's a fine line between putting the cart before the horse and visualizing success. But with a P.O. box, you can't go wrong. This is the ultimate visualization. And if you do it right, fan mail will begin flooding your inbox, and you'll need to upgrade to an even bigger option soon. And you got to check it daily, because people have a lot they want to say, and fan mail boxes provide that conduit for expression that they crave.
Thank you so much, Cody. This is a great start. I'll run over to the post office right now before I change out of my suit and tie, in case the last available P.O. box is about to get taken.
That's smart, yeah. And make sure you ask for a fan mail P.O. box. That's very important. And if you can dress up in a suit, it'll make a good impression on them too.
That's perfect, because I'm already dressed up.
Great. Now down the road, you might want to consider subscribing to a vast array of free catalogs that are offered for your P.O. box, just to really get your money's worth. There are a lot of great ones, ranging everything from home decor, clothing, garden, traveling, fishing, taxidermy, weddings, and gifts. All free. Yours for the taking.
Thanks for the tip. I'm super excited to start getting some fan mail. And yeah, I'd love some catalogs too.
You bet. It's a really exciting time for any salesman's journey. I have a fan mail P.O. box myself, and I have all my favorite fan mail tacked to my office walls. They're covered, floor to ceiling. People love me. You can probably do the same thing with your walls.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, all my walls in my office are concrete, so I can't really use push pins. But I guess I could put them up with concrete screws, though. That would work.
Yeah, that works too. Okay, call me whenever. You got my number now.
Okay, thanks, Cody. I can't thank you enough, actually. I really appreciate your time.
You're paying me the same as anyone else for consulting.
Well, your time is valuable.
It's as valuable as you're paying me right now. It's $5 a minute.
It's worth it. It's going to pay back many times over. Thanks, Cody. You brought me back to life. I was hopeless before our conversation.
Anytime. I don't know if I believe in you, but it's really important to believe in yourself.
I can't thank you enough. I'll go to the post office right now. Okay, bye, Cody.
Hey, wait, well, don't hang up. One more thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. What? Oh, yeah?
Don't hesitate to call for little check-ins, too. We don't need to solve every problem there ever was in each phone call. I've had other clients tell me they like to just call sometimes. Tell me how they're feeling or whatever, you know?
Cool. Yeah, I understand. I'll call you a bunch.
Great. Because salesmen, almost more than any other type of people combined, can really get stuck in their heads. And it's usually the least effective place to dwell in if action is what you truly want from the bottom of your heart.
Yeah, action is what I want. So I'll put you on speed dial so that I can just hold the one button down and it'll call you.
Good. Okay. Talk soon. Bye.
Okay, bye.
With a pep in his step, Sam sprints up his basement steps, through the kitchen, down the hallway, and out the front door, which he locks up, of course. Then he runs down the front steps and out to his truck. Next stop, the post office.
Yeah.
It ended up being really important that Sam rushed over to the post office, because he did actually get the very last P.O. box, and the person in line behind him wanted one too. Sam felt really bad for the guy who didn't get the P.O. box, but not bad enough to give his away. Then, on his way home, Sam parks his truck by the docks where he sometimes likes to sit and think about stuff.
Ah, you're looking sharp.
Who, me? Oh, thanks. I guess I still must be in my suit, huh?
Looks like it. What's the occasion?
Well, I'm a salesman, believe it or not.
Okay, what are you selling?
I'm selling the Old Testament, but it's an illustrated one. I illustrated it.
Cool. How's sales?
Well, not so good. Earlier today, I tried to sell it door to door, and to be honest, it was horrible. Very humbling. I didn't sell a single book. I kind of wanted to give up, you know? I'm still not so sure I should do this. It's been pretty hard on my heart.
Yeah, I hear you. That hurts. But if you illustrated it, you at least probably have some conviction on your side, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Maybe you haven't heard, but we're all salesmen these days.
Really? Well, what about like a monk or a nun or something? They're not really salesmen, right?
Actually, they're huge salesmen. I mean, they sell us their contrasting lifestyles. I mean, who's paying for their food and rent? They have to be convincing enough to not get kicked out of their monastery or nunnery or whatever, right? They're maybe the biggest salesmen there ever were. They're part of a bigger organization that does all the fundraising, sure, but they're the agents. I mean, to be a nun in the Catholic Church means to be a worker for one of the richest, most influential corporations in the world. Just think about it. Like, the assets and artifacts and property they possess could be leveraged to end world hunger and poverty almost overnight. But they're a business. They're not going to do that. They'd have to give up their identities. It would upend how they've existed for generations, with their habits and beliefs, lifestyles, their power.
Never thought about it like that.
Yeah, we're all one big sales pitch. The only thing that differentiates us is what we're selling.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, do you believe in the merits of individualism?
I mean, no. Yeah? I mean, what are you talking about?
In this society, we're taught that if only we worked hard, no matter who we are, we can climb the ladder up to our dreams. We can be successful and find an abundance of happiness, wealth, and love. And those most likely to flourish are the ones who can live their lives transactionally, operating like a business. Because, sorry, what's your name, actually?
It's Sam.
Well, because, Sam, there's success stories everywhere you turn. And if we don't make it, it's because of something we did wrong personally. That's what we're taught, and I believe it.
Really? I don't know if I really agree with all that. It seems like a convenient way for us to excuse some major problems going on. Especially if we're blaming individuals when things are wrong on such a large scale. It seems like that kind of thinking would just lead to accepting crummy treatment of anyone when they're down on their luck or depressed. If they're dealt a bad hand, you know? It would lead to people blaming themselves and each other rather than the bigger systems of power. Because everyone with lots of money can just do whatever they want for the most part and tweak the laws to keep it that way.
Well, maybe, but many people actually have gone from rags to riches. Truly anyone can make it in this great country, I think.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I certainly want to make it. And I think you're right. There is a chance for many people, even if it's super, super small. I know tons of unlikely success stories. Maybe I just need to channel that energy, even if intuitively it doesn't make any sense.
Well, try it. Well, anyway, we're all salesmen, and it sounds like you're one of the lucky ones to be selling something you actually made, not just hucking somebody else's goods.
Maybe, yeah. That part does feel pretty good sometimes.
Yeah, so keep your head up. But, hey, actually, can I see a copy?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Let me open up my briefcase here.
All right, well, I'll just set down my fishing pole then.
All right, here you go.
Thanks. Whoa, this is not what I was expecting at all. I was can't brace myself for this to be awful. Just awful. Wow. I love this one here. Here we go. It says, Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. This looks super evil. That's a lot of Tupperware there. That's incredible. The colors and the line work are totally nuts. I'll buy one for sure. What do I owe you?
Wow, really? Thanks. I'm so glad you like it. That is resonating with you. They're pretty steep. They're $130. I always feel sheepish telling people the price. They cost a lot to produce.
Oh, wow, yeah, that is pretty steep, but this is a lot of work here. I mean, I think it's worth every penny. And I just got paid today. I can't wait to spend some time with it. I'll buy it. You take cash? Oh, dang, there's a fish on the line. My hands are full of this book. Here, you reel it in.
Okay.
Here, grab the line. Okay. Grab the
okay.
rod.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
Reel, just like that. Okay. Here you go. You got it. You got it.
Ah! What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Just reel it in. Reel it in.
Ah! Pulling the bail line
let
back
it
out.
Take the bail out. Don't put your hand in. Just let it run the line out. It'll wear itself out.
We're gonna run out of line.
We're not gonna run out of line. There. Look, he's coming back. Just bring him in close. I'll use the net. Easy. Easy now. Easy now. Bring it in close. Okay. Right there. Right there. Got it.
Wow, look at that one. I've never seen anything like it before. What is it even?
That's a baby sturgeon. Nice work. That's a beauty right there, I'll tell you what.
Dang, this thing is huge. There's no way this is a baby. I've seen baby fish before, and this is not a baby. Look at it. This is so cool. Look at those eyes.
It's a beauty. It might be a 12-pounder. Yeah, these guys get to be 6 feet long. They've been around since the dinosaurs. You should keep it. Bring it home for dinner.
Thanks, but I don't know how to fillet anything. I don't know how to even hold this thing, to be honest.
It's a fish. You can hold it anywhere.
Well,
if you don't want to eat it, you can keep it as a pet if you have a big tank.
Yeah, I don't have any tanks. You should just let it go on my behalf.
All right, I'll let it go. I'll get the hook out here. Let me just get my forceps out and just pop it out there. There we go. All right, see you later, fish. There she goes. That one was a beauty. I was just kidding, you know.
About what? The merits of individualism?
No, about keeping baby fishes. That's not right. They need to be able to grow up to be adults, make more fish.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought it was kind of weird when you asked if I wanted it, but it's kind of a funny joke. Well, I'm glad I ran into you. Gets lonely trying to sell this book all by myself, I'm finding out.
Yeah, I'm glad our paths crossed. I can't wait to get home so I can look through this honker. Never really read this book before, but I've heard it's foundational to this country, and I love this country, so maybe I'll learn something.
Awesome. I bet you will. Thanks a million. Oh, one last question.
Sure.
Are there any free fishing catalogs you know of to subscribe to that they'll mail to a P.O. box?
Not that I'm aware of, bud.
I guess it doesn't hurt to check. Just got a P.O. box I'm pretty excited about, and I want to get all the mail I can. I'm not picky, but I do want lots of it to be fan mail.
Well, I hope you get lots of fan mail and cool catalogs.
Thanks.
Hey, you should get my phone number. Let me know if you need anything ever down the line. I support what you're doing.
Thanks. That means a ton. Yeah, what's your phone number? I'll write it down.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, what do you got?
It's 1, little 3, big 7, little 4, and then that's an 8, 12, big 6, 9, little 4. Put me down as Doug Knuckles. That's my actual name.
All right. I got it. Thanks, Doug. My name's Sam. Oh, yeah, I told you that already. Well, I hope you catch some more cool fish today. I mean, look them in the eyes for me and tell them I said hi, okay?
Thanks, for sure. I hope you catch some more sales. It's always seemed like being a salesman is kind of like fishing, hoping for bites and trying to reel in a sale without them tossing the hook.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm so new to this, but that's kind of it exactly. Thanks. Well, better be going. I got a lot more work to do today.
Yeah, get out there. Sell your book.
Yeah, okay. I'll try. All right, bye.
Do you do fist bumps, Sam? Lots of people don't like them, so I always ask first.
Sure, sometimes.
Well, let's do one.
All right. There we go.
Well, bye. I almost forgot because of the fish. Here's your money.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
All right, we'll see ya.
All right, see ya.
Wait, one more thing.
Yeah?
What's your goal with all this?
My goal?
Yeah, why are you out here selling this book? Why'd you make it?
Huh. I guess I'm not positive, it just felt right. And after I started, I never questioned it that much. I guess now I'm kind of embarrassed. Why am I doing this?
Well, think on it. Maybe it was best not to overthink it while you were making it. I bet there's lots of magic doing it that way, but now you'll probably be a more focused and effective salesman if you actually know about what you're doing out here and why. Give it some thought.
Okay. Thanks for the tip. I'll think on it for sure. All right, see ya.
Yep, bye-bye.
Do you hear these footsteps now? They're still from Sam, who was making all the footstep noises you heard earlier. But an awful lot has happened today. A journey is unfolding like a mysterious pamphlet. It's thickening and expanding like a loaf of new bread baking in the distance. It's coming into focus like the aperture of a telescope upon this distant loaf of bread. Sam's out here, in the harsh world, vulnerable and exposed, naked except for the fancy brown suit from the 70s or 80s which adorns his entire body. And in this infantile state, any interactions with strangers, even the ones that aren't noteworthy at all, seem to act as rudders, steering him in unforeseen directions on the sloppy seas. Can you remember any time that a small interaction with a stranger has completely changed the course of your life? Maybe that stranger even became your friend or enemy. Okay, now to hear these footsteps quickening. Sam realized there is no time to waste. He must get home to draft up a questionnaire for all his existing clients. It could take weeks to get adequate input from people, and still more time for him to make a beautiful poster with elegant graphs and powerful charts from these customer testimonials that would impress the people he meets door to door.
Oh man, forgot that I drove here.
Sam backtracks a ways back to the parking lot where his truck rests peacefully like a sleeping whale, but embraced not by water, but rather by the land's terrestrial atmosphere. It's a warm, safe embrace. If you focus on it, the truck almost looks like it's rising and falling with its breaths. But, of course, it's not really. Sam then drives it home. Lost in thought, with potential questionnaire questions and tons of other ideas pinging around in his brain neurons, like electrons in an unstable gas. Like, maybe argon or neon.
This concludes the first episode of Birth of a Salesman named Sam Gets a Fan Mail P.O. Box. The part of Cody Maloney was played by Colin Sims, and Doug Knuckles was played by Jack Gribble. Sam's mother was played by Anna Weggle, and no one knows who the people were at the doors that Sam knocked on, except for the last one. That angry man was played by Josh Ingersoll. Episode 1 was narrated and produced by Dan Dukic, and he did the music and sound design. Sam played himself. The song is called Robot Kid by Sir Joshua Roberts. Tune in next week for episode 2. It's called Sam Has a Slumber Party with Dennis. Thanks for listening.
You played with me like your little toy. I needed something to destroy. Wire. Think I'm gonna start a fire. I blew up tanks.